You know, I want to thank you for just helping out Friday night. It was a real joy. I was talking with Lynn Merriman, and he was saying that he has a little girl on a school bus, and she started to get on the bus a couple Wednesdays ago, and all of a sudden she goes, "Oh, I forgot, today's Good News Club." She hops on the off the bus and runs over to our Good News Club. And that's one of the things I pray Wednesday morning. I pray and I say, "Lord, would you just help the kids remember that there's Good News Club today? Because we got to meet them after school outside." And you know, the Lord does that. It's pretty awesome. So just want to praise the Lord for you and just ministering to our families. You know, I had an opportunity to talk to a parent, and I think the grandkids were late because Grandpa didn't pick them up on time. And you'd know the grandpa if I told you, but I will not reveal names. And she was apologetic. I said, "Hey, it's no problem. We love your kids. They're great. And it was no problem. We were cleaning up. We just loved having them. We're thankful for them." It's just another way to show grace to people. So I want to thank you for participating in that and doing that. You know, we even had Anne. And it was awesome. I gave her a bunch of M&Ms and gummy bears and some Hi-Chew candies. And we put them in jars. And she had the job of counting them all, so the kids could guess how many candies in the jar. And so Ann became a bean counter overnight, did a great job. So Ann, thank you so much. I appreciate that. So, you know, these past few weeks, we've been looking at the gospel accounts of the last 48 hours of Christ and on his way to the cross. And my hope is that as we've done that the last few weeks, as we've been in the gospels, that you, along with myself, would just come away with a greater love, a greater devotion, a greater admiration for what Jesus did for us. And we think that all that he went through, and just want to briefly review those highlights. You know, over the course of those last 48 hours, he experienced the betrayal of Judas, pleading with his father in the Garden of Gethsemane and saying, "Lord, if there's any other way to do this," and the father saying, "No, son, you're it. And then the denial by Peter three times. And then Jesus, as he bears witness in the trials, that he's the Son of God, that he's the Messiah King, that he came to testify to the truth. And what's that met with? It's met with those who mocked the truth. Others rejected the truth. Others weren't even interested in the truth. Certainly Pilate neglected to pursue the truth. And then on the cross, you know, we heard the words of Jesus, and the words being, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And I just marvel at those words, the forgiveness of the Lord toward those who beat him, those who put him on the cross. And then those last excruciating hours on the cross while he's hanging there, Jesus takes upon himself all of humanity's sin. And he experiences the wrath of his Father upon him. And in agony, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And for the first time in their relationship from all of eternity, the Father and the Son are separated in relationship. Never happened before. But Jesus had to do that because Jesus, being sinful, taking on all our sins, the Father cannot be in the presence of sin. He has to turn his back upon his Son. And then that final cry on the cross, "It is finished." And the work was completed in full. For us, that work meant that you're not under any punishment anymore for your sin. We're not alienated from God anymore. You and I stand right before God. Last week, we were reminded that the witnesses were all agreed that the evidence was really crystal clear, that Jesus was dead, that the tomb was empty, and that Jesus was alive on Sunday morning. Jesus was on a mission, and he accomplished his mission, and on the cross, he said, "It's done. I've finished my mission. I've done everything the Father sent me to do." And what Jesus' mission was to introduce us all to the Father, what God is like, to show us the kingdom of God. And he came and he did that well. And at the very end of his life, he did what he ultimately came to do, and that was to become the Lamb of God who would take away our sins. And by taking away our sins, we're forgiven. And Corinthians says this, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. So at the end of the Gospels, Jesus says some last words. And as you and I know, last words are really important, aren't they? I still remember very clearly the words of my father as he lay on his deathbed up in Seattle. And I remember looking into his eyes and I remember saying, Dad, I love you. And I remember life slowly ebbing out and the eyes didn't have life in it much more. And my dad's last word is, I love you too, son. Last words are really important. We never forget them. Last words are important. And I want to read for us the last words of Jesus in those last few days. After he rose from the dead, he was here on this earth 40 days. And there are some words he said and shared that are powerful. Listen, Matthew 28. It's a few days later. The disciples are up in Galilee again, and Jesus is with them. And it says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. This is Matthew 28, 16. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. And some doubted him. And then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I am with you to the very end of the age. We flip over to the Mark account, and Mark says this. It says, Jesus later appeared to the 11 as they were eating. This was on a Sunday night. And he rebuked them for their lack of faith. This was the Sunday night that he had just risen from the dead. And he rebukes them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Remember, Mary and others had come and they said, man, we've seen the Lord. And they thought, we don't believe it. And Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And then we flip over to the Luke passage. And in Luke, it says this. While they were still talking among themselves, Jesus stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Again, this is on Sunday. And Jesus says, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, and they thought he was a ghost. And he said to them, why are you so troubled? And why do doubts rise up in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you have seen that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and he ate it in their presence. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. That was Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John has some other pieces too. But as you listen to Jesus' final instructions, it's clear he has a mission for his disciples. And his mission on earth was done. His was finished. He did everything the Father called him to do. He now passes on that mission to his disciples, to you and to me. And I want us just to notice some of the elements of this mission that he says. First of all, he says, all authority has been given to me. He said, disciples, I have a job for you. You're to go out and you're to make disciples. All authority has been given to me. The Father wants you to go out. I remember being in middle school, and I was in orchestra. And I had been kind of cutting up in class, And so I got sent to the principal's office, the vice principal, Mr. Mark. I was a little worried about that, but I went there, and I was a pretty good kid, and it was kind of unusual for me to get in trouble. I was pretty good at hiding. And I went to the principal's office, and he said, "Oh, Dwayne, what are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I'm just yada, 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 and, you know, about my class, just acting up." And he says, "Well," he says, "yeah, you're great, you're fine. Hey, you know what, I need some help. Why don't you go down to the PE department? They need to move some supplies. For the rest of the period, you can just go do that." And so I walk down the hallway, and I'm feeling pretty good, right? Because why? Because someone in authority, the vice principal, said, "You can go down there and help, and you got the authority to go, and you can be out of class and not have to worry about a teacher saying, 'Hey, what are you doing in the halls, kid?'" I had authority from Mr. Mark, the vice principal, to go down and walk the halls and go help out. Okay, you know what Jesus is saying? Go. Go and make disciples. I've given you authority to do it. I've given you the power to do it. Okay? And here's what you're to do. You're to go and you're to make disciples. Now, a disciple is a learner. It was a command. Make disciples. And it's a picture of a student in a relationship with his master. Not kind of like you guys with your teachers at school, where you can kind of go, "Yeah, I see them, you know, every day, but I don't pay attention to them. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't really care. And I'm not really paying attention in class." That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a relationship with a student and a teacher where the student trusts.